welcome to the Deep Dive. You know, trying to predict how a disease might spread, it's always been incredibly challenging. Mostly because the old ways kind of assumed everyone just mixed together evenly.
Just before we get started, a quick heads up for you. We aren't real people. We're derived from AI using source materials uploaded by WorldPop. And importantly, the audio has all been edited, checked, and fully validated by the experts at WorldPop. So you're getting accurate information.
Absolutely. So today we're doing a deep dive into a new review paper. It's led by Professor Xin Liu, who co-founded the Flowminder Foundation, and it's co-authored by Dr. Shenji Lai, a principal research fellow at WorldPop.
And what this paper does, essentially, is pull together all the current evidence. It shows how adding human movement data into epidemic models makes them much more accurate and timely.
Okay, right. Let's unpack that, because the real challenge, I suppose, is tracking how people actually move and interact, which is messy and complicated.
It really is. Those traditional models you mentioned, like the SIR model, which many people might have heard of, they rely on this idea of homogeneous mixing. Basically, they treat everyone as having the same chance of infecting everyone else.
Which just isn't realistic, is it? We don't interact like that.
Not at all. It assumes we're all sort of floating around, bumping into each other randomly. It completely misses the structure of real life.
And when you think about it, real-world interaction is incredibly varied. You've got massive sudden movements. Think about the daily commute into a city or people flying between countries along major transport routes. These aren't random. They create these focused pathways, these channels, that can turn a small local outbreak into something much bigger, much faster.
And those static models, they just can't capture that speed or directionality. That's why mobility data is proving so vital. The paper synthesizes evidence showing that, quite often, this movement data is actually a better predictor of how an epidemic will spread. Better than just knowing the population size of an area or how far apart places are. It tells you how places are connected by people, not just by distance.
Right. How are we actually getting this detailed movement information?
Well, the big advance comes from these high-resolution data sources, things like cellular signal data, or CSD, sometimes called call detail records, CDRs, and also GPS data from apps, Wi-Fi connection data. These give us a really granular picture of where people are and when, spatially and temporally.
And it's really important to state here, the evidence reviewed in the paper, it uses de-identified, anonymized data. That's absolutely crucial for using this kind of information ethically.
Non-negotiable, absolutely.
So with this anonymized data, what can epidemiologists do differently? You mentioned moving beyond the simple models.
Exactly. It allows us to build much more sophisticated, realistic models. We can move past those simple compartments to things like network-based models or agent-based models.
Okay. And what do they do differently?
Well, they capture the actual routes people take, the connections. Network models see the population as, well, a network with links representing movement flows. Agent-based models go even further. They can simulate individual agents representing people and model their specific journeys, where they stop, for how long. It captures those really varied, heterogeneous contact patterns. Much more realistic.
Right, so you're moving from averages to actual observed behavior patterns.
Pretty much, yeah.
And the practical result of plugging this data in.
It means things like epidemic risk assessments become much more timely. You can do contact tracing more effectively, calculate key things like the effective reproduction number with more accuracy in near real time.
Because you can see, for example, how commuting patterns might influence where the next hotspot is likely to appear, gives you that crucial lead time.
That's the idea. So for public health policy, what does it all mean? It means we can shift towards much more targeted interventions instead of broad, generalized measures like citywide or national lockdowns, which have huge social and economic costs. You can focus resources testing, maybe vaccinations, public health advice on the specific areas identified as high risk through these movement patterns.
A much more precise approach, a huge leap. Potentially.
Definitely. It allows for more efficient and hopefully more effective responses.
Okay. So the data is powerful. The models are getting smarter.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next hurdle then?
Well, as the review points out, our remaining challenge is often more technical. You have all these valuable data sources, mobile data, GPS, etc., but they come in different formats.
Yeah.
Getting them to work together smoothly, ensuring that interoperability so we can build a consistent, maybe even global picture, that's the next big step needed for a truly coordinated response.
Makes sense. Standardization is key when you're dealing with data at that scale.
Indeed.
Fascinating stuff.
This has been The Deep Dive. To read the full journal article discussed today, please follow the link below.